What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen. 411 Teen is a weekly program for teens and other interested folks. 411 Teen provides a forum to examine and discuss various issues and events that confront, intersect, and sometimes interrupt our daily lives. I'm Dr. Liz Hollyfield. Planning for college can be one of the most exciting times in a young person's life and one of the most stressful for both teens and their parents. Author Ashley Wellington writes, Admission Essay Boot Camp, How to Write Your Way into the Elite College of Your Dreams. She shares advice on essay writing and the college admission process. Joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome three students from Florida High. They are all seniors. I welcome Lauren Nabel. Lauren is into the yearbook, softball, and volleyball.
Hey, thanks for having me today.
I'm glad to have you. Roderick Wilkins, also a senior. He is into basketball, music, and fashion.
Hey, how you doing, guys? This is Roderick.
And Miranda Watkins. Miranda enjoys volleyball, yearbook, and student government.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Welcome to 411 Teen. In addition, on the phone, we have Ashley Wellington, who offers hard-hitting advice on essay writing. Ashley, welcome to 411 Teen.
Thank you for having me.
Looking forward to talking to you and all the information you can share. And looking at your book, what was the purpose for writing the book? What were you trying to accomplish? And I think I know the answer, but
I've been working with students for a long time, and I used to do a ton of test prep, and I found that the standardized tests, they only answered, you know, part of the question when it came to a student's candidacy for a school. And I would read drafts of the essays that they had written, and I felt that the students were doing themselves a disservice because I would get to know the students so well during the process, and then I'd read the essay and think, well, this isn't a good representation of you. I'm not getting your personality at all. In fact, you're portraying someone I don't even like that much. I wanted to start working with students more closely to make sure that they were true to themselves and they showed what made them unique, and they didn't try to put on airs or act as if they were someone that they weren't, and just get a little bit more refreshing honesty in the essays. So, you know, I kept reaching my capacity every year for the number of students I could take on because I like to work really closely with them. And I thought, if I write a book, I can reach more students, and I hope that I'm doing that and that students are finding this book helpful.
Well, I thought it was very informative. In fact, I read it, and when I finish, I will be donating it to Florida High. So they will have it. Yeah, they will have it, and will be able to, you know, other students will be able to have access to it and hopefully take advantage of it. In looking at college preparation, and a little sidebar before we get particularly into the essay, do you have any particular advice as to when one should apply to college?
Oh, when one applies to college, well, I say, you know, have some diversity in your application. I find that, you know, students who are, you know, I think I heard someone say they worked for student government. I found that, you know, for supplemental essays and personal statements, students will cover kind of the same material or mention the same thing, and that's hurting them because they're not showing the many activities that they do and showing different dimensions of themselves. So don't write about the same thing in multiple essays. That's number one.
Okay. What's the purpose basically, of this personal essay. I think if we start there and they have a real good understanding of what this personal essay is about, we can kind of go from there. Why are they having to do it?
Well, I think I mentioned in the book, hopefully people out there will read it, but, you know, college admissions is becoming infinitely more selective every single year. And I'm not trying to scare anyone. I'm just stating the facts. And, you know, schools that a decade, 2 decades ago had 50, 60% admissions rate now has 10% admissions rate. And that a lot of that has to do with the higher number of applicants because of the Common Act. It doesn't mean all of them are necessarily qualified, but because of that, a lot of these students have comparable test scores and grades, and they look exactly the same on paper. And so once you make a certain cutoff because your numbers are in the right range, the only way to really get noticed is to show your unique personality through your essay. So the personal statement is quickly becoming this defining component of your application that really shows you.
Exactly. That's what I wanted to hear you say, because I think it's important that they understand that there may be 500 other students that look like them on paper. And so what you want to do with this essay is to point out and make yourself the unique individual that they are. I mean, because there might be 300 other students who have the same grade point, who did the same thing on the SAT or the ACT. So that way you all look the same. And that college, that essay is really what's going to make the difference. Would you agree there, Ashley?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And of course, I'm biased a little, but I tend to think the essay is the most important part because it's the only thing that's different.
I agree with you, too. Let's start, if you don't mind, by looking at what they should avoid in writing an essay. I mean, what are the major faux pas, or as my kids used to say, fox passes? What are the major fox passes committed when writing the essay?
Well, something I tell students, a lot of times I call it floating around in intellectual soup, where they'll take an idea and they'll just talk about this idea that they have, you know, whether it be on, sometimes students tackle huge things like poverty or world peace or something like that. They don't tether their intellectual portion of their essay to concrete experiences and anecdotes. I say you have to back everything up with, you know, evidentiary support about yourself. So, and you have to look for opportunities to give little details about yourself. And so sometimes I'll read an essay and I think, okay, this is a generic student. I know absolutely nothing about this student. And so you have to put details about yourself in there. Instead of saying, I checked the time, say, I looked at my neon yellow swatch that I bought with my allowance, you know, that I've worn every year for 12 years. That tells me something about you. It tells me a little personality trait that makes you memorable. So always tether your ideas to concrete experiences.
How do you start an essay off without being very boring and, like, try to entice the reader into reading your paper and standing out?
That is an excellent
question.
Because, you know, some schools receive 40,000 applications, and I actually spoke to someone who's a former Dartmouth admissions officer, and she says, you know, an essay that starts in a certain way, I'm not sure it even gets read. So I actually wrote a guest blog about this, that if you're really boring in the first paragraph, and no matter how interesting it gets later, an admissions officer might not read that far. So one thing you can do is start with dialogue. I like to incorporate dialogue right away because it kind of grips you, it brings you in, it immediately puts you in the context of a classroom or a lunch table. Another thing you can do is what I call an in-the-moment narration, where if you're writing an essay about the experience of working on the newspaper staff, start with a scene the night before you have to submit the layout for the new issue, and you're in the workroom and you're having a conversation with someone or a crisis comes up, and you want to show yourself in that context. Do an in-the-moment narration. Don't just say, I've been doing newspapers since ninth grade. You know, and then you can backtrack and analyze, but put me in your shoes. Let me see you in action.
Okay, I actually have my application essay in front of me right now, and I think the biggest thing I had trouble with is kind of showing my voice and my essay.
Okay. So tell me, what did you write about? I want to know two things. First, the topic.
Okay.
And two, after I read it, what personality traits about you do you want me to know? Do you want me to know that you're creative, that you're patient, that you are kind and outgoing? What are you trying to convey?
Okay, so the topic is why I chose UCF. First of all, I'm going to UCF to play volleyball.
Okay.
And so basically, like, the biggest part of my essay is the teammates, the campus, the coaches. I like their coaching style. But it's not really showing who I am. It's just saying, like, why I like this. You know what I'm saying?
So is this is not your – this your personal statement? Or is it for a supplement?
This is the essay.
Well, one thing I find with why do you want to go here essays is that students will spend so much time telling the school how great they are, they've forgotten to convey how great the student is. So don't just sing the school's praises. It knows how awesome it is. It knows what facilities it has. What it doesn't know is how you are going to hit the ground running when you arrive on campus. So what I would do is...
Ashley, can I ask you, before you get into that, to just hold your thoughts for a minute. We're going to take a brief break. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, talking with students from Florida High, and they are talking with Ashley Wellington, founder of the elite college prep agency, Mint Tutors. They're talking about creating the college admission essay. We're going to take a brief break, but we'll return momentarily. If you're just tuning in, the program is 411 Teen. We are talking about admission essay. The admissions essay boot camp shows students how to identify their type. Ashley, you have a number of different types that you have explored. But before we get into that, I'd like to have you respond to Miranda's question. I know I had to interrupt you, so you want to continue on that first?
I have students kind of face this issue, for instance, when they're doing a why engineering essay, or I know Penn supplement is just why do you want to go here, and they end up talking about how great the school is. So what I would do is start with a story about yourself that shows your approach to volleyball or something that you cherish about your volleyball. You said volleyball, right?
Yes, ma'am, yeah.
Something that you cherish about your volleyball experience or your team. And then talk about how only at that school can you grow, can you continue to pursue volleyball in that way? Will you find the same team dynamic that you had at your current school? So start with a story about yourself. Again, tether it to your own experiences so it's not just singing the praises of the school and leaving yourself out of it.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Ashley, in your book, you start out by talking about the three H's. What are they and what is their significance?
Well, the three H's are humility, honesty, and humor. And the reason I try to get students to incorporate them is because, well, first, writing an essay about yourself is not easy. It makes students very anxious, and they say, how am I supposed to say this about myself? How do I convey that I'm the one in the class who is always raising my hand and prompting interesting dialogue? And or how do I show that I'm the leader on this without sounding like I'm bragging? And it's hard. And so a lot of students do come off very smug and self-satisfied when they don't mean to. They're just trying to convey their strengths. So I say humility, and one way you can do that is to say, I was surprised when my teacher picked me, or I was humbled when my team elected me captain. Little phrases like that are enough to show that you're taking your accomplishments in stride. The next one is honesty. I have had students try to embellish things or try to kind of manufacture stories that...
That's the way of the world, isn't it, Ashley?
Yeah, exactly. And I try to stray away from that because I'm sure there are people who do it, but gosh, you know, you're such an interesting person anyway. Why do you need to make things up? So just be honest about who you are. Another thing is people try to fabricate personas for their essays and try to come off as a certain type of person. And I think, I don't want to see this. I want to see who you are. And also, I'm going to notice discrepancies with your transcripts. You aren't being true to yourself. And then the last one is humor, because I find that students, when they're writing their college essays, think that they have to be these erudite scholars who take themselves really seriously all of a sudden because it's this important college essay. And I tell them, don't be afraid to make the admissions officer laugh. In fact, you know, shoot for that. Because then you'll be memorable. So, you know, don't take yourself too seriously. Just be unapologetically you.
Okay. Lauren, you have a question?
Well, on my college essay, I actually talked about how my parents didn't go to college. And, well, they went for a little bit, but they didn't actually go, like, all 4 years. So they actually pushed me to actually go. Luckily, I don't have to worry about the finances. They got me Florida prepaid. And I just mainly wrote about how I was really just, like, so pushed to, like, go to college, just, like, in a good way, though, because I wanted to go. I want to succeed, and I want a good education. So I'm actually planning on applying to FSU, and I'm thinking about doing it this weekend, so this upcoming weekend. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Oh, well, I was going to say congratulations on your successes, and this is such an exciting time for you.
I know.
And you must be making your parents really, really proud.
Yes, ma'am. And in the essay, I just mainly talked about how I really wanted to go, and I didn't really talk about the school much. I just talked about what my possible majors would be. That's pretty much it, and just how I want to succeed, like, even more.
That's wonderful. Some advice I would give you. One, make sure that it seems that the driving force is always you, not your parents.
Right, right.
You know, maybe make it seem as if you watched them or you heard their advice and you internalized it, but you are your own motivator. The second thing is when you're talking about your potential majors or academic interests, as for the third time, sorry to be a dead horse, tether it to concrete experiences. Talk about something that you loved in school and show yourself studying it, learning about it, you know, show your intellectual spark, and then talk about how exciting it would be to pursue that academic track. Don't just mention, oh, it might be cool to do biomedical engineering without really solidifying for me, the reader, why this is a great intellectual interest for you. But it sounds like you've got the makings of a really meaningful essay.
All right. Thank you.
Often the college essays are like 500 word max. And I was wondering, is it bad if you underwrite? But if I underwrite, what if I hit like all I want to hit in such a great manner? And I feel if I try to babble on, it'll just ruin the essay because I'm trying to hit 500 words. Mm-hmm. So what
That's
should
a
I do?
Good question.
Yeah, there's definitely a balance there because you don't want filler.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I find that you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't take advantage of all the space that you have to sell yourself. So I think I provided an example in my book of one essay that, you know, was under 10 words and worked, but that doesn't mean that, you know, you should go to such extremes. Honestly, I would try to brainstorm another example or another story about yourself that you can provide and take advantage. You got to see that word count as a gift, that you have an opportunity to really show them who you are aside from, you know, your numbers on your transcript.
But Ashley, what about the flip side? Roger talked about being under the limit. What about that individual?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
What about that individual who writes over?
The Common Application said 500 words.
Mm-hmm.
And all the admissions officers and college counselors kind of knew that as long as you stayed on one page, single space, you were okay. So students would go up to 700 words as long as they kept it on a page.
Right.
And then I think in response to that, the Common App changed last summer, and they said 650 words
mm-hmm.
cut off. And I think people are having to be a lot more careful now. So if you go over, especially if you're on two pages, gosh, it's just not going to be read.
Mm-hmm.
I had a friend in high school who wrote, her essays were too long, and they went on to the second page, and then she made the font smaller to try to fit, and she didn't get into her top choice school, which was just, everyone was flabbergasted because,
mm-hmm.
you know, this was a student who should have been able to go wherever she wanted. And our college counselor called the admissions office, and they said, oh, we didn't read her essays because the font was too small. They were too long. So, you know, try to, you know, get to 650 words and stop and then fine-tune it and shave it down. I'd say better to be, you can go probably 600, 650 words. As I mentioned before, any less than that, and you're missing an opportunity to really show who you are. And any more than that, and your essay is probably not going to be read.
Okay, Lauren.
For the college essay, should they be more formal or not very formal? Because I had a teacher.
That is an excellent question. I get that every year. Of course, they need to be formal. Make sure your grammar is impeccable.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, show your voice. I tell students, don't be afraid of contractions. I have a whole chapter in my book on that.
Yes, students, you do.
When I read an essay that says, I could not have done this, I would not have, and it just doesn't sound like a natural
mm-hmm.
teenage voice, that catches me off guard. It draws attention to itself and away from the narrative. So, yes, make sure your grammar is good. Make sure that your subjective mood is good, just so they know that you are an accomplished writer. But again, honestly, be yourself. Don't be afraid of showing your voice, especially in dialogue. It's different, you know, on a case-by-case basis, but don't sound stuffy, I tell students. You're not a college professor in a tweed blazer, you know, with suede elbow patches. You're this really unique, interesting teenager with a perspective that nobody else has. So be that person.
Okay. Because, like, I just want to get like a good balance on my essay between academics and my personal life. Like, I don't want to get too much of one thing, and then
mm-hmm.
I don't want like the people who are looking over my essay thinking, oh, she only thinks about her academics. I know most colleges want to see that you're a well-rounded person, like you're involved yeah. in other things besides school.
Absolutely. I mean, I tell students to incorporate a social element or a communal element in every essay. I should have mentioned this right off the bat. It's very important. So I have a whole chapter in the book on the loner essay for students who like kind of solitary intellectual tasks. And I say you still have to have a communal element. You have to show that you're not a social pariah. You have friends. You know how to interact with your community and bring something to the table for other people. I had one student write an essay about how she turned in her math test and then went into the hallway to gossip with friends about who was taking whom to prom, and I put a big X through that. You know, there's got to be a level of sophistication to the content. You know, don't talk about having, you know, Kardashian binge-watching marathons, you know. Maybe try to pick a show that with a little bit more substance that you like. So, you know, be cognizant of that. But, definitely don't put that. I also had a student who wrote an essay about the movie Dumb and Dumber and tried to make parallels to his own life and difficulties. And again, that there just isn't the level of sophistication that's good enough for a college essay. So if you're talking about, you know, you with your friends, show, you know, maybe an intellectual conversation that you had, or you're discussing a class that you had, or a shared interest, a sport that you do together, or something for newspaper. Don't be gossiping about people. Don't show that.
Right, okay.
You mentioned earlier you devoted a whole chapter to the use of contractions. You know, not all of them are created equal. I wanted you to elaborate a little bit more on what's acceptable, unacceptable, or if there's a general rule of thumb that you would share with the students as they write their essays.
Yes. In general, I tell students, especially, you know, with word choice, with contractions, if it draws attention to itself, it's a problem, because then I'm paying attention to this weird word that you used that doesn't sound natural, and I'm not paying attention to your story. And so what I put in this chapter is contractions that sound natural, that are just so colloquial that to not use them would be weird. You should feel, especially with word count constrictions, you should be able to feel comfortable putting a contraction in here or there. But there are some that sound really unnatural, that, you know, Howell, for instance, H-O-W-L-L, you know, how will you get to school by 7 a.m.? You're probably going to say, how will? So if you look at this chapter, I've kind of divided it up into categories that are going to make sense. You're going to say, oh, I use that a lot. The two I said to stay away from are ain't and y'all. Just, you know, say you or are not. just do me that favor. But again, if it draws attention to itself, or if someone's reading it and says, then change it. If you don't notice them at all, that means that that's a good thing. I paid attention to what you're saying and not how it's written.
I don't think they've asked you this directly, but I think it would be real beneficial if you would look at the selection of topics. How does one decide what to write on? Because I think all three of them have been kind of like, well, I was writing about this, but can you share with them any insights as to how to decide what to write about?
Of course, of course. And with the Common App, I know someone had mentioned applying to a UC school, which is totally different, but for the Common App, for most colleges, they do provide some prompts. And up until last year, they said choose your own topic, and pretty much everyone went with that. And now they've eliminated that option, and you kind of have to choose one of the prompts. So in the book, I have students kind of take inventory of their experiences and their own stories and their own lives before they choose a topic. I find that sometimes students will say, okay, this sounds good, a time when you challenged authority, and then they'll brainstorm kind of, you know, a mediocre anecdote that allows them to answer that, and then they write an essay, and yeah, it answers the question, but it's really not the best material about themselves to be using. So, you know, when I work closely with students, I have them start with their own lives, and then we choose the prompt that best fits. But sometimes, you know, if you're on your own, it might be easier to pick a prompt. So the best thing you can do is, I have a questionnaire in my book, but basically I ask students to write down interesting people they met during summer programs, or jobs that they had and what the biggest challenge was, or someone they met that, you know, made them see things differently, or someone who was difficult to get along with and then they had to find common ground, or a book that challenged them. And that's supposed to kind of
get the brain oiled up so they can mm-hmm. kind of figure out what they want to say about themselves. Honestly, the best thing you can do is figure out the best story about yourself, the activity that you did that is most meaningful, and then figure out which prompt kind of aligns with it. So, you know, if you are looking at the book, you can try to fill out the questionnaire because it asks you to go a little bit beyond just kind of itemizing things on your transcript. You know, I loved hearing about the essay. I think it's Miranda who her parents hadn't gone to college, and so this had been this really important thing for her.
Yeah.
That's an interesting story to tell. You know, mm-hmm. start with that. She took inventory of a really important aspect of her identity and decided to write about that. So she's on the right track.
Another question that may be entertained is, what if you have two essays? Do you need to make them connect, be associated with each other? I think we were talking about this, Lauren, before we started the taping for the program, and she was saying that one of the applications required two essays.
Yes.
Yeah. Two 200-word essays.
Yeah.
And was there any descriptor or anything?
No, it was just my teacher. She told me just look what college you want to go to and make sure you only have to do one or two essays.
Oh,
so, yeah.
Okay. All right. Before you respond, I'm going to ask you to hold your thoughts again. We're going to take a brief break. You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and I am talking with Ashley Wellington. Joining me also is Lauren Nabel, Roderick Wilkins, and Miranda Watkins, all students at Florida High. What's the 411? You're tuned in to 411 Teen, and this hour we are examining the college admission essay. I'm Dr. Liz Holyfield, and joining me here at the roundtable, I welcome Lauren Nabel, Roderick Wilkins, and Miranda Watkins, all seniors at Florida High. On the line is Ashley Wellington. She is the founder of Mint Tutors, which is an elite college prep agency. I had to interrupt you, but you were responding to, Ashley, you were responding to having two essays and how we might handle that.
Yes. Well, and a lot of supplements will ask for additional essays as well. And I tell students to make sure they're thematically consistent. I don't want to read them and think they were written by two different people. But as I mentioned before, don't repeat material. Make sure you write about two different activities, two different experiences that kind of show different dimensions of you. So as long as you don't have personality traits coming across that are contradicting each other, I'd love to know as much as possible. So definitely tell me different stories.
I have a question about conclusion. How should you end with, like, humor or, like, how do you end the college essay without, you know, rambling on again talking about yourself?
Oh, gosh, yeah, it's hard. And the only thing harder is starting a college essay. I definitely don't repeat anything. Don't treat it like an analytical essay for school where your conclusion has to kind of sum things up and drive the point home. Humor is great if you can pull it off, because that's leaving a lasting impression with me. But yeah, just don't repeat. You don't need to beat a dead horse. Maybe it's hard because each essay is totally different. But return to yourself. You start with yourself. You kind of analyze things. You talk about different experiences. End with yourself, with a moment where you say something to someone, or you you finish a project that you've been working on, or you finally understand the answer to the question that you were trying to solve in your opening paragraph. I like to come full circle with an essay, so it feels like it's cohesive and finished. I'm sorry if that's a vague response, but every essay is so different.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
make sure you don't just kind of fizzle and have it be over. Make mm-hmm. sure you end with a punch.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
Miranda, you have a question?
Yep.
Lauren?
I'm okay.
Okay. Ashley, you identified, I guess it was 10 types in your book, and I thought this was a very helpful way for the student to kind of formulate, you know, where they're coming from and who they are. And I wondered if we could at least kind of explore those 10 types, because I thought in reading that that gave the student a real handle on where they were coming from, and that could help them in actually writing the essay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I would love to do that. The reason I included the student type is because, you know, the admissions officers reading your application are going to categorize you based on your test scores. And so I figure if you can use that to your advantage, you might as well. I have some traditional ones, and you know, as we go over these, you're probably going to think, yep, I know it. I can think of several high school classmates who fall mm-hmm. into that category, or, you know, this describes me to a T. So we have the Achieve-a-tron, which, as you can guess by the name, is the person who does everything and is good at everything. And for all of these student types, by the way, at the end, I say what your imperative and your angle need to be. You know, if you are this student type, you really need to show a lot of humility because you could easily come off as a braggart.
Mm-hmm.
And then your imperative is kind of a thematic direction you need to take in your essay. We have the dabbler is someone who hasn't really found his or her niche. She's dabbling in doing this activity. Sorry, my dog just barked before that.
That's okay. We like dogs.
Doing that activity, can't really figure out what he or she is good at, and really, you know, is an interesting, smart person, but just hasn't found that right kind of channel yet.
And, you know, they could possibly, you know, present in that way that they like to explore things and check things out. And, they're kind of into looking at a number of different things. That doesn't have to be negative, does it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Use that to your advantage.
Mm-hmm.
College admissions officers are going to be looking at that thinking, okay, well, we're trying to figure out this student. We can't figure out what makes him or her tick. Well, use that to your advantage. Show that you have an inquisitive mind. You have a desire to explore. You like trying new things, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Show that as a personality trait, and it can absolutely come off as a strength. Then, you know, we have the athlete student type. And the important thing here is to show your cerebral side as well.
Exactly.
You're not just an athlete, because they want to know what you're going to contribute to the classroom, not just the athletic field. So, you know, showcase both of those things. We have
mm-hmm.
the club president who has accumulated all the titles, you know, president of this, president of this. And, you know, I want to dig beneath the surface, because sometimes they'll look at that and think, okay, it's resume filler. This student is just trying to puff up the transcript with clubs and things. So dig beneath the surface. Show why you're in this club. Show what your duties are. That you are outgoing, and that's why you are involved in so many different extracurriculars.
I like how you.
I
wanted to add. I liked how you said, "Show why you're interested in the club." So often they will just list all the things that they belong to. We know, okay, but what was it about this club that really caught your attention? Why are you involved in that? And I think that's a really effective, you know, twist to add to your essay. I'm in this because I really am in, you know, it gives me an opportunity to explore whatever it is I want to explore, you know, on and on. Would you
Absolutely,
agree?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's so important. They have your transcript in front of them, so they're going to know what activities you do. They don't know why. They don't know what makes you tick, what really draws you to it, why you're passionate about it.
Just like Miranda was saying, she's going to be playing volleyball. That's great. But what is it about volleyball that really, grabbed you and has kept you playing volleyball? And that might be a little twist that you might add.
Exactly. And that's great advice. The next one is the average Joe. So it's kind of someone who is similar to the dabbler, but hasn't really tried a bunch of things. Just hasn't really, has average grades. Isn't a standout in any one category. But again, if you show that you're excited to try new things in college and you're just kind of a late bloomer, but you're starting to find things that really excite you, well, colleges are going to see the potential there, and they're going to be really excited to kind of unleash you on their campus with all their cool programs and just let you kind of get involved.
And that average Joe may have some interest that he or she is very much into deep sea diving. Nobody knows that about them. They're just kind of, but that might be something that they want to explore.
Exactly. And sometimes you don't figure out what you really like until your junior spring.
You don't have the
record of, having pursued it, having taken some classes in it, so it doesn't mean you're not really interested in it. So there's definitely a way to show that. Then we have the natural, the person who's just so good at everything, he or she doesn't really have to try. And, that can be an issue because, if you're putting in minimal effort and you're kind of apathetic, colleges aren't going to be excited. They want to show that you're not only smart, but you also care. Mm-hmm. There are ways to play that out. We have the unnatural who makes the good grades but has to work extremely hard. Nothing comes naturally. So we have to show that this person isn't just motivated by grades. He or she can be really intellectually excited by something. We have the secret prodigy, the person who, as Dr. Liz mentioned, might like deep sea diving or might like gardening or might, be learning ancient Greek in his or her spare time. Mm-hmm. But doing this solitary activity that doesn't really manifest itself on your transcript because it's not school-related. So, you need to show what you've been doing with your spare time and how you get really intellectually engaged with these other activities that you do. We have the buddy, and as I mentioned before, you have to have a communal aspect in all of your essays. So this affable personality is a really strong trait to show. And then the last one, we have the aristocrat, which I put in because sometimes I work with students who just have divorced from reality. They don't get the extent of their privilege. And I read the essays and I think, oh my gosh, you cannot submit this. You sound like a brat. It's terrible. I could get into stories, but it would take too long. So, just be cognizant of the world is kind of my takeaway there. Just be aware if you've had great privileges. Show humility and also I have students who sometimes think manufacturing hardship for their essays will make their essays sound deep, and I think, well, you haven't had any hardship, so you can't go that direction, and it also does a disservice to people who have overcome difficult things. So it's kind of a wake up call in some ways to people out there who might not understand how an essay is coming across. But those are my 10 types. You might be a combination of two, but for all of the essay examples later, I profile different students and I talk about what their essay types were and how they tried to cater to those types with the topics that they chose.
Even though this book is kind of related towards just college essays, can you use like some of these tips to help with scholarships?
Oh, absolutely. A lot of the scholarship essays want the same thing. They want to know who you are, what makes you tick, why you're going to use the opportunity they give you in college. Absolutely, because the tips help you show who you are, and and why you're a deserving candidate, and that works for scholarships as well.
Okay, thank you.
Lauren.
For letters of appeal, I know FSU actually accepts letters for appeal, and how do you go, like, if you don't get accepted, how do you not go overboard of saying how much you really want to be in FSU, how you think it'd be a great choice for you to choose me for FSU? Like, I don't really know, like, if I didn't get accepted, I don't really know how I would word that letter of appeal. So,
well, you're covering that, all aspects.
Well, I have to do these with students all the time who get waitlisted at their top choice schools. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes they're heartbroken. Or sometimes they get into a couple schools and they just want to see. So, first thing, you know, convey that, just write one letter. Convey that you're still very interested. And then update them on everything that, all your accolades, all your activities, everything that you've done since you submitted your application in the fall. So, again, don't start slacking once you get your applications in. You're going to mm-hmm. still want right. to be working hard, accomplishing things, just so you show them that, you know, here's an update, here's what I've been up to, and this is the reason why I'm still very interested in the school. Months later, I'm even more convinced that it's the perfect place for me for this, this, and this reason. But keep it to one letter under a page, single-spaced.
Okay, all right.
So, you know, cut to the chase. So the last thing you want to do is bombard them or annoy them, because you'll hear horror stories of parents who mm-hmm. call the admissions office every day.
Yeah. Yes.
That's not going to help. That's just going to frustrate them.
Mm-hmm.
Be mature about it, I guess.
What about red flag topics? What should they avoid in these last
red
few minutes?
Red flag topics. I have a wonderful, wonderful chapter on this. And it's kind of, they're red flag topics, but I also show how to make them work. So you don't have to be afraid of them necessarily, just, you know, tread lightly. So, you know, I have the pity essay. I've had students submit essays to me about their parents getting divorced, and that's the whole essay. And I think, well, this is terrible, and I'm very sorry, but I learned nothing about you. You've thrown away an opportunity to tell me about yourself. And so I find people, if you're trying to make the admissions officers feel sorry for you, that's the wrong move. What you should do is show how you, you know, at the risk of sounding triumphs mm-hmm. in the face of these hardships, how you you saw a positive angle, you got momentum out of it to pursue something else. Just show your positive energy and attitude. If you just feel sorry for yourself, they're going to think, well, this person's still processing this event, and it's affecting their all aspects of their life, and it's just, it's going to make them uncomfortable. Show them how you have overcome. The next one, so I show kind of people writing about death, which is really tough, as long as it's about you and you show kind of how you grew from it, that it can work. Then I have kind of the sexism essay. I see that a lot. Racism essay, I see that a lot. Just, again, make sure it shows you finding positive, a positive direction from it and being mature and not kind of dwelling on it. Because, again, sexism and racism, these are huge, enormous, pervasive mm-hmm. problems in the world that you're not going to solve in 650 words. But what you can show me is how you dealt with it in a good way. And then I have some, the loner essay is mm-hmm. the biggest red flag, because the loner essay has an opportunity to make you sound like a social pariah. It eliminates the community factor. Mm-hmm. So be careful when you're writing about sitting alone in your room doing jigsaw puzzles. Make sure you're showing yourself engaging with other people and, you know, sharing ideas and things like that. Then we have mea culpa essay, which is sometimes students have kind of a weird blot on their academic record that they can't really explain away because, you know, they had an illness mm-hmm. one semester and their grades were really low, or they made a dumb decision on something. And a lot of times I say, you know, confront it head on and show positive momentum from it. Don't just dwell on how unfortunate it was. So if you read this chapter, you can see kind of how these red flag topics are dangerous if handled improperly, but mm-hmm. they can absolutely work to your advantage. Pretty much any topic can if you handle it correctly. So just make sure you're always putting your best foot forward and thinking to yourself, this is the only thing they're going to know about me. Am I showing myself in the best way?
Well, Ashley, thanks so much. I think you have provided them with invaluable information that I'm sure they all took heed of. To my listening audience, tune in next week, same time, same place, to get the 411 on 411 Teen. This edition of 411 Teen was produced by Dr. Liz Hollifield. Technical assistant, Ken Smith. Audio copies are available, and if you want to participate in 411 Teen or have suggestions for discussion topics, call 1-800-829-8809, extension 358. If you would like to subscribe to 411 Teen podcast, log in wfsu.org. Check us out on Facebook.